This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone.
You're a Bruce Springsteen fan?
I am, to some degree, yes.
They once asked him, how do you come up with the songs that you write and the characters that are in them? And he said, I have a familiarity with the crushing hand of fate. I want to ask you about the crushing hand of fate in several of your decisions.
That was Democratic Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois questioning Samuel Alito during the Judiciary Committee's Supreme Court nomination hearings back in January. Alito, you may remember, is from New Jersey, and so Durbin, well, I guess you could call it musical profiling. But it turns out Durbin was onto something. Judges, lawyers, legal scholars, they have a particular penchant for dropping musical references into their opinions and journals. And not just any music. Alex Long is an associate professor at the Oklahoma City University School of Law and author of the paper, Insert Lyrics Here, The Uses and Misuses of Popular Music Lyrics in Legal Writing. He found that folk and folk-influenced artists from the 60s and 70s are the most frequently cited. In fact, his top 10 list reads like the tattered vinyl collection of the baby boom. We're so predictable. Take it away, Alex.
Okay. Do you want to do a drum roll or do you just want
me
to?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Number 10 would be R.E.M. Number 9, Joni Mitchell. Number 8, Simon and Garfunkel. 7, The Grateful Dead. Number 6, The Rolling Stones. 5, Woody Guthrie. 4, Paul Simon. 3, Bruce Springsteen. 2, The Beatles. And number 1, not surprisingly, Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. If there is such a thing as a rock poet, then it's probably Bob Dylan.
Dylan is largely described as the voice of a generation, and he is the voice of the generation that currently holds a lot of power in the legal profession. And the folk music revival of the early 60s often gets closely linked to the civil rights movement of the early 60s. And if you talk to a lot of older attorneys out there, you come to quickly realize that there were a lot of attorneys and, in fact, a lot of law professors who were inspired by the civil rights movement to become lawyers in the first place. So they've carried those memories and those feelings with them throughout their lives. And there certainly have been good uses of Dylan's lyrics.
Give me an example.
The example I'm thinking of is from a California appellate court that's attempting to explain what the legal standard is for when expert testimony is required. You know, a lot of times when jurors are hearing cases, there are certain concepts that they lack the specific expertise or the knowledge necessary to fully make a decision in this case. Where, however, a matter is just within the common experience of the average person, you don't need an expert. And so in this particular case from California, the court said that in the case of expert testimony, Bob Dylan articulates the appropriate legal role.
Don't you say in your article that this particular citation from Subterranean Homesick Blues is used over and over again for the same reason?
Yeah, well, that's the nature of legal opinion writing. You rely on precedent, and at this point, Bob Dylan has become, or Subterranean Homesick Blues has become precedent in California.
And you note that country music doesn't make the list, and you ask why in the piece, and you say, if one wanted to write about the problems of the working class, the lyrics of country music seem to be more the natural language. The folkies of the 50s and 60s sang about picking a bale of cotton. Johnny Cash actually did it. Pete Seeger was the Harvard-educated son of a renowned musicologist. Hank Williams never finished high school. But those authentic voices don't make the list.
Yeah, I think that country music is normally associated with conservative values. Country music sort of views change as a bad thing. You hear that theme used frequently in country music. And to the extent that country music is Republican or Democrat, it's Republican. Folk music, on the other hand, has always, even though it's supposedly music about common people and about the folks, it's listened to and performed by largely liberal elites, or at least that's historically who listen to folk music. And so law professors, at least, are far more likely to associate with folk music than they are country music for perhaps those reasons.
Tell me what Mader versus Motorola was about.
The issue in this case was just a simple, dull, dry procedural issue. There was nothing particularly interesting about the case itself, and the court made not one but two references to popular music within the space of the same paragraph.
Would you read it?
Sure. The Beatles once sang about the long and winding road, but at the end of the day, the plaintiffs and their counsel were singing the Pink Floyd anthem, Another Brick in the Wall, after constantly banging their collective heads against a popular procedural wall. Northern District of Illinois, Local Rule 12, governing the briefing and submission of summary judgment motions.
The long and winding road.
Well, it has a beat, but I don't think you can dance to it. Alex, another example that doesn't work appears in United States versus Jackson from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Could you do the honors again and recite the relevant passage?
This was a drug possession case. And in the case, the defendant was sitting on a bus, and eventually law enforcement came onto the bus with a drug-detecting dog and announced to all the riders on the bus that they were free to stay on the bus if they wanted, or they're welcome to leave if they like and get back on the bus once the drug-sniffing dog had completed its duties. As it happened, Mr. Jackson actually had drugs on him. So the court said that Jackson was forced to ask himself what The Clash famously asked two decades ago. Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay? Court said that doubtless Jackson knew that if he stayed on the bus and the dog alerted him, there would be trouble. But given the officer's ultimate discovery of the cocaine strapped to his waist, the trouble turned out to be double, notwithstanding his decision to go.
Someone worked really hard on that one, Alex.
Perhaps too hard. The first part of the quote, I think, is actually pretty clever. The defendant here was presented with a choice. Should he stay or should I go? It actually does a nice job of describing the dilemma that he faced. It's after that that he gets into a little bit of trouble, no pun intended, because the song doesn't actually describe his dilemma at that point. If he had stayed on the bus, presumably the dog would have discovered the cocaine and he would have been arrested. There would have been trouble. But what he did was decide to get up off the bus and leave. And what happened? The dog sniffed the drugs and he was arrested. So even though he left, even though he went, his trouble wasn't really doubled. It was the same trouble as if he had stayed on the bus to begin with.
Now, there is a citation that you talk about that actually works. We mentioned that Bruce Springsteen came in at number three. And I'm not sure if Senator Durbin used Springsteen all that well in Alito's confirmation hearings. But you mentioned a federal magistrate, Judge Paul W. Grimm, who does. And it involves a Springsteen line that goes, "Is a dream a lie if it don't come true? Is it something
worse that sends me down?" Yeah, it's from the Springsteen song, The River. The problem that you see with a lot of legal writing that uses these lyrics is the writer will usually preface the quote by saying, "And as Bruce Springsteen once famously remarked." In this case, the judge simply used that line and then juxtaposed it with a quote from an individual who had allegedly been the victim of housing discrimination, who said that the former city commissioner had told the people in the neighborhood to dream about what this neighborhood could be, but he didn't tell us that the dream meant that we wouldn't be included. And all the judge did was simply use that quote and then put Springsteen's quote right next to it. It's just a nice turn of a phrase there.
Did you say finally when you came upon that one?
Somebody got it right, yes.
Alex, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alex Long is an associate professor at the Oklahoma City University School of Law and author of the paper, Insert Lyrics Here, The Uses and Misuses of Popular Music Lyrics in Legal Writing. Maggie calls Fleetfoot, face full of black soot, talking at the heat, put plants in the bed, but